Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in to another week of the program. Glad to have you with us live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. We do this program each day at 11 a.m. And, of course, if you can't be with us live, don't forget to find us as a podcast. We are located in Apple Podcast. It's a really easy way for you to subscribe and listen to us every day if you can't be with us for the live program. Big news before we even really jump into the rest of the show, and this came out Friday afternoon after we had already been off the air, but Indiana Athletics announced Friday afternoon, I'm sure you've all seen it, that voluntary workouts in the sport of football only are temporarily paused after six of its participants tested positive for COVID-19 this past week. So things had been going. The first report we got of 180-something tests back in June, no positives out of 183 or 185, whatever that number was. The second report we got earlier in July, maybe just a couple COVID-19 positives. And then, of course, this week, not a good week for IU football. The six, enough for Indiana to put a pause on things. Indiana's got a procedure set up, as most colleges do, that they are following. They have guidelines on when they're going to allow things to continue, when they're going to make things go silent, at least temporarily, and how long things must stay silent. So, again, Indiana football workouts, after we just heard from Coach Allen last week, have now been shelved, at least temporarily, after six participants test positive for COVID-19 all in last week. And again, we've said this a lot. I think we all know this by now. But with sports and with this virus, it doesn't matter if it's the NBA that has all sorts of millions to pump into a bubble, a campus in Orlando, Florida, that's protected, that's taken a lot of precautions. I mean, so many different precautions there, more than I've seen anyone take, at least it's been publicly put out there, sports or otherwise, or whether it's high school or college football. There are going to be cases and small outbreaks of the coronavirus on sports teams and sports programs. It's going to happen. If we play games, it's going to affect some of the games that are played, whether that means an entire game is canceled or just a team is missing some of its key players because they are quarantining or because they do have the virus. It is going to affect what things look like in sports. Can the NBA control it better than most because they're all in a bubble? I would think so, but you don't know for sure. Can MLB, which, by the way, it was so nice last night to have Sunday night baseball. It didn't count. It wasn't a legitimate game. It was the Cubs and White Sox in an exhibition, but it was just great to see baseball back on television. But, oh, so weird to not see fans in the stands at these big ballparks. You see a couple people, workers, hell, even the general manager of the Cubs was sitting in the stands with nobody around him last night. But you wonder, can Major League Baseball control this as well as the NBA may be able to? They're not in a bubble. They're going to travel. They're going to use most of their home ballparks. I saw where the Toronto Blue Jays aren't going to be able to use their facility, the Rogers Center. They're going to have to find somewhere else to play because of Canada's government saying, no, we're not going to allow that to happen in our country or in this state, in this province. But, you know, it's something we're going to have to learn to live with. And again, for high school sports and for college sports, it becomes a safety thing as well. Yeah, you want to live with a couple cases. You're pretty sure that those student athletes are healthy. They're going to be okay in most scenarios. But if it's a big breakout, or if people do really get sick and have severe issues, or God forbid someone passes, that's when I think you'll see things really come to a screeching halt. But we're going to hear every school, every sport, lots of situations where there are positive COVID-19 cases as we move forward in sports this summer and, of course, into the fall as well. And again, the other thing I wanted to mention at the top of the show, we are getting back to some normalcy, at least for right now, in sports, especially if college and NFL football can find a way to go and are able to keep things rolling once they get a start. Because Sunday night baseball is kind of always something I put on in the background. Nice to have that on. Nice to have baseball back on TV. Yes, it's not baseball as normal with no fans. And yes, it's not even the regular season yet. That will start later this week on Thursday, I believe. But we are getting back to where, from this point forward, Major League Baseball, NBA, of course, is going to last later this year because of the shutdown and the restart. College football, NFL football, and of course, fingers crossed that all of that happens and we get to the college basketball season, even if it were to be later than normal, say in January sometime. We are getting to a point where unless there's a major shutdown, unless there are some major problems with sports and the government gets involved and it's not safe, we're going to have sports at least on television. You may not be able to jump in the car and drive up to Bloomington and go to the football game. You may not be able to go to the Cubs game or the Reds game that you go to a couple times a year, but we're going to at least have sports on TV moving forward on a consistent basis. Professional sports, college sports, and of course, we hope to get high school sports back as well coming up in a little bit later this summer. All right, let's jump into the show today. The show lineup, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Today, we're going to take a look at Romeo Langford in our headline segment, also former Hoosier OG Anunoby. A couple things on him in our headlines today. And also keeping it on the NBA front, Thomas Bryant as well. We'll talk about him in our headlines today. From a local perspective, an update on Will Loving's Watts at Jeffersonville. We'll tell you about him coming up in just a few moments as well. All in our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Later in the show, it's Monday, so Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, he's always with us. We'll talk about IU's shutdown of football workouts, at least temporarily, when Zach is with us. We'll talk some other football headlines as well. And then later in the show, Chad Gilbert. Chad is the athletic director currently at Charlestown High School, also former coach in the area, and of course the president of the IHSA Executive Board. He joins us Mondays as we talk a lot of local sports, and we'll talk some about some local players. We'll also talk about the return of Major League Baseball and more with Chad when he is with us later in the hour today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Make sure to visit your Honey Baked Ham store and check out all the new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, pick up is available as well, and of course, curbside service still available if you call ahead at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And yesterday on the Celtics social media stuff accounts, it was Romeo Langford Day. And so we got all sorts of videos and pictures and things, updates on Romeo Langford, who, of course, is a rookie, getting ready to reconvene his rookie season down in Orlando with the Celtics. And, of course, a lot of talk about his shot. There have been a couple stories as they profile him heading into Orlando that really he worked so hard in the summer after he was drafted, even into the season, and still it sounds like even today, to have a more fluid jump shot, something that's more natural to him is how Romeo described it in one of the stories that I read. He worked a lot with an assistant coach for the Celtics named Joe Mazzulla. And remember the ping pong paddle taped to his left hand, which was designed to keep the guide thumb off the ball. Some of those photos and maybe even videos that got out from the Celtics practice facility. Lots of work in the shot of Romeo Langford to get that where the Celtics want it to be. and we'll see with even more time to perfect that new shot during the quarantine period and, of course, the shutdown of the NBA. We'll see how Romeo looks when he makes his return again Friday of this week. And I had said last week it was a game. It's actually a scrimmage game. I think they take on Oklahoma City, the Thunder, in one of the early games down in Orlando on Friday. Also, OG Anunoby, it was his birthday, I guess, recently, and there have been some stories about him. I read a really good one on ESPN that gave his stat line in comparison to some other players that were a few years older than him. Lots of nods to OG for his defensive abilities. And he's someone that draws a lot of confidence when you talk about having an NBA career that could span a number of seasons. I don't know that he'll ever be an NBA All-Star. I mean, I think it's a possibility, but I don't know that he'll ever be a great NBA player or a key franchise player for a team, but I think he definitely will have a spot in the league and be a contributor and play for many, many years in the NBA because of all that he brings to a team, starting with his defense, but also just his athleticism and everything that he brings to the game. OG Anunoby, I think, will have a tremendous – he already is on his way to having a nice NBA career for the Raptors and, of course, got him an NBA championship, even though he was injured some in that series. Got him an NBA championship last year with the Raptors in Toronto. Also, an NBA note, as we gear up for Orlando and the NBA restart later this week, Thomas Bryant is back. He is recovered from COVID-19, and he had some other health injuries and things going on as well, but he's been in practice and will be joining the team in Orlando for games later in the week. So a good contingent of IU guys in Orlando. We've talked some about that. Obviously, Romeo, OG Anunoby, Eric Gordon, others, Yogi Ferrell, expect to compete for playing time for their teams, some more than others, but a lot of guys that have something to prove and that will get opportunities in this restart down in Orlando. Also, final note, a local note here, Will Lovings-Watts, who is at Jeffersonville High School. He told one of the writers from Alex Bozich's Inside the Hall website that IU wants him to visit campus when that becomes possible and legal again based on what's going on with the COVID-19 pandemic and, of course, the NCAA special guidelines that are kind of governing recruiting right now. He also is supposed to speak with Indiana today by phone. He said that Illinois and Texas Tech have expressed interest, and of course he has two Division I scholarship offers, Bradley and Wichita State, both currently the two Division I schools that have offered Will Lovings-Watts a scholarship. I would not be surprised by the end of the summer, by the end of the travel ball season, if he hasn't picked up maybe his first high major offer. Not saying don't think it'll be Indiana, but it would not surprise me if an offer a little bigger than a Bradley or Wichita State comes in for Will Lovings-Watts by the end of the summer as we start to get ready and restart school and think more about high school basketball, we hope, later in the fall. So Will Lovings-Watts, hearing from Indiana, we knew that. Supposed to speak with him again today, and a campus visit seems very likely for Will Lovings-Watts when those are allowed. Again, of course, Will is a 2022 class member, so he'll be a junior at Jeffersonville when school resumes here very soon for Jeffersonville and for Greater Clark. One other Big Ten note in our headlines segment, more good news for Michigan, or I should say more good news for the Michigan Big Ten schools, right? Michigan State's had some good recruiting pickups lately. They also, obviously a rumor last night about one of their key players returning and not going the NBA route. Well, Michigan is going to get a little bump as well. The forward Isaiah Livers, he announced on Friday that he's going to withdraw his name from the NBA draft and return to school for his senior season. You know, the Big Ten Conference right now, a lot of guys up in the air, but with Livers and the decision last week from the Michigan State player, and of course Luka Garza, that's the big one out at Iowa, this late deadline. I think right now it's August 2nd that players have to say they're in or out of the upcoming NBA draft, which has been bumped back considerably because of the pandemic that we're in. Lots of effect can be had on the Big Ten, making it more competitive for next year, or I don't want to say watering it down a bit. It's still going to be good either way. But Luka Garza coming back to Iowa or not can be the difference in them maybe being a top five, top 10 team, maybe a Final Four contender or not. He is that good in the Iowa uniform, no question about that. And those are some decisions that will be coming up here, I would think, any time over the next 2 weeks or so. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Monday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back to talk IU football and the temporary shutdown of voluntary workouts after six IU football participants tested positive last week for COVID-19. Zach Osterman is next. Chad Gilbert still ahead. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, always with me Monday on the show as we talk IU basketball, IU football, and more. And, of course, today, Zach, we've got to start with football, and it was announced on Friday afternoon that IU Athletics would put a pause on the voluntary workouts currently going on with the football program because six participants, it didn't say players specifically, but six participants had tested positive of COVID-19, that virus, last week in testing. Indiana, the second Big Ten school, I believe, that this summer has had to at least pause temporary workouts as we continue to see cases rise in the state and really across the country as well. Thoughts on this voluntary workout, and when could we see Indiana football safely take the field again to get some off-season work in?
Yeah, you know, obviously not the news that Indiana wanted. I think, you know, it was interesting that they paused on six positive tests. You know, I think we've seen maybe the threshold be a little bit higher for some other schools, but some schools have, you know, kind of been in the 6 to 8, 9 range, and that's when they feel like they need to shut it down. You know, as for when Indiana can get back, I would expect that it will be certainly well over a week. I'm on vacation right now, so I don't actually have the procedures in front of me. But I would imagine that we would be looking at it at least into next week before, you know, we see the potential resumption of activity. And that's, you know, this just kind of comes back to the, to what we've talked about, which is that this is not going to be a perfect process. It's not going to be a streamlined process. There's going to be hiccups. What you just hope when you're, you know, running the programs is that you can keep the numbers low. You can really stay on top of things. I think this is, again, where the sort of policies, the NCAA-wide policies over regular testing are going to be very important, so that you can kind of spot any sort of positives in your team before they start to spread, because I think one of the things that we have learned increasingly about this disease in young people is that for many of them, they can get it and be asymptomatic most of, if not the entire time that they're fighting the disease. And so you've got to really be on top of watching your numbers and watching your rosters so that you don't wind up in a situation where it breaks out before you can spot it and isolate it and so forth.
Yeah, we just heard from Coach Allen last week, and he seemed very hopeful, I think is a good way to describe his comments to the media, that the season would take place and even that Indiana would open up its season on time as scheduled. I wonder if the six positives and a delay in workouts changes his view on things.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a good question. That would be a fair question for him. And he wouldn't give exact numbers, but when Indiana had announced the previous four positives across its entire department, what was that, maybe about a week and a half ago, Allen did say that football was affected by that, so at least one, perhaps more, of those four positives were also in the football program. So it's possible that, you know, this is as much as anything out of an abundance of caution. You know, the tricky part is going to be I shouldn't say the tricky part. There are about two dozen tricky parts. But I think when it's going to have a real impact on schedules is first when these teams try to get into camp situations. Because if you get into camp situations and you're still having trouble, it's not ideal to be pausing voluntary workouts. If you pause camp, though, then you're basically pausing your buildup to your season. And then you start to get into questions about player safety and readiness from a physical perspective and whether or not players, are physically strengthened enough to handle the rigors of the season and therefore whether it's safe enough to be putting them out there in a sport that obviously is as physically demanding and sometimes violent as football. So, I mean, this is just all going to be part of it. It's difficult. It's tricky. There's no sort of tried and true way to do this because you can't put college athletes in a bubble the way you can professional athletes. And I think this just speaks to kind of the uncertainty around whether or not you're going to be able to get a college season together, frankly.
Especially if there is a season, and I know there's a lot of unknown right now, but, and I've said this before, I think we've all said this, but if there is a season, you're going to be writing about players, maybe coaches that are fighting the coronavirus. We're going to be talking about who's not playing or who's sitting out or who's quarantining. If the schools, I think at some point when you get into the season, it's going to be obvious who's out, who's missing, things of that nature, even if they won't now announce specific names. But I think if there's a season, so much of leading up to games and so much of the fallout from games is going to be about these same subjects. It may not even be necessarily, obviously who wins and loses will still be important. There will still be a lot of interest in it, no question about it. But I think so much of the media attention and discussion before and after will be about who's sick or who's missing or who can't play that week.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think it's going to become, in the same way that on Mondays after a game during a normal season, we'd ask Tom Allen, did you come out with a clean bill of health? Who's injured? Who's healthy? Whatever. We'd probably ask. Obviously, again, you can't give specifics for privacy reasons, but we'd ask something to the effect of essentially, do you have any positive tests, or when are you going to know? And when are those kinds of things going to go through? So we've been thinking about all this stuff in very theoretical terms for a long time now, or what seems like a long time, because the last 5 months have seemed to take a couple of years. But now that we're in the sort of practical part of it, it suddenly gets even more complex than we initially would have thought. And you start to really think about how this works week to week. And it's easy to just kind of get spun down a rabbit hole you feel like you'll never come out of, because there's going to be so many layers and complications.
Yeah, no question. Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, who's with me Mondays talking IU basketball and IU football. Speaking of basketball, today's the day that college coaches are allowed to begin some work with their players. It no longer just has to be the strength and conditioning coach or staff. So Archie Miller and his coaches, who've been focusing a lot on recruiting, I know that will continue, but they'll actually be able to get on the court for a certain number of hours per day and per week with players.
Yep. I mean, again, we've had so much of this conversation around football that I think we've at times maybe forgotten a little bit. That basketball is, basketball is going on, volleyball's fired up, soccer, there's a number of sports here that are all kind of trying to tune toward the season, and they're all going to be running into some of the same issues. Now, I think maybe the biggest differences with a sport like basketball will be that you can, in theory, if your players and your coaches adhere to your regulations and things, it's going to be easier to keep sort of an airtight seal around your program, so to speak. Again, I know you can't just completely build a bubble around these guys, but it won't be quite as hard because your numbers are lower and because you can kind of keep things corralled a little bit more. It won't be quite as hard to, maybe limit contact with your program, but it's still not going to be perfect. And I think we're still going to see you know, some of these conversations. I mean, Louisville basketball's already had to pause voluntary workouts, and I think that as things escalate, as things ramp up, we're going to see more basketball programs go through some of the same things that the football programs are going through. And, of course, the other side is we haven't really, for, you know, completely understandable reasons, we haven't really addressed the questions around basketball that we've addressed around football. You know, it's still very theoretical in terms of thinking about things like, would the season be delayed, or, you know, would the season go to a conference-only schedule the way basketball has? That stuff is still a little bit kind of, you know, floating out there. It's not a decision that has to be made as immediately, obviously, or as urgently as some of the decisions around football. But I think that there are going to be some pretty understandable parallels between all the sports in terms of maybe hitting some of these roadblocks, figuring out how to navigate some of the same obstacles. And anytime you step up, you know, sort of participation, anytime you step up, you know, workout layers, I guess you'd say, you know, there's going to be that additional sort of risk.
You know, you mentioned this earlier in one of your answers, professional sports, and I said this earlier in the show, professional sports can afford a bubble. They can afford a Orlando campus with all the expenses there to set up practice courts, to play games, because there's still, even though no fans coming, a lot of money tied up in TV deals and things of that nature. College sports cannot, it's just not feasible to have a bubble of any shape or kind. They're students first, athletes second, hence the word student-athletes. So they've got to be in class or taking some kind of education along the way as they participate and play in these sports. That could be the big difference. I'm not even sure that the bubble in NBA in Orlando is invincible. And if it's not invincible, then college football and college basketball and students that are going to be, you know, with their team a lot, and even if it's online-only classes, maybe there could be a chance to really be kind of quarantined more with their team than ever before in the college landscape. It's still never going to be perfect at that level.
No, it's not, and it's, you know, it's sort of a weird anachronism, I guess, in the sense that when you look at the layers that these, number one, you can never make it fully safe, but then number two, you can probably also make the argument that this is probably as safe as any place, you know, these a lot of these athletes can be right now in terms of the layers and redundancies and precautions that a department can afford to take just on a daily basis because of the resources they have. You know, you mentioned something there, and you don't, it's not something anyone should push for. And obviously if it comes to pass, then I shudder to think at the reasons that prompted it. I mean, they really would scare me, frankly. But you said there, you know, the idea of, you know, what if classes are completely online only? We've seen some colleges that have gone in that direction. I think that, you know, I mean, like, I know Indiana is going to try using, I use an example, a hybrid of in-person and online. I would be, frankly, floored if that's even a 50-50 split. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you're talking about in-person versus online classes, at least for the fall semester at IU, if you're not talking about maybe 25%, 75%, with the 75% being online only. So, you know, a lot of these schools are kind of already in a place where it probably wouldn't be very hard if the numbers headed in the wrong direction, if something happened, if students came back, or even if just the climate within the individual states was not very good, was not very encouraging. If these schools could just sort of pivot completely to online only, that's not anyone's preferred outcome, of course. You know, the universities want to be able to operate as normally as possible, both for financial and also, I guess you would say, sort of mission critical reasons or philosophical reasons. And so again, it's not something I think anybody should ever advocate for. The circumstances that would lead to this would not be very ideal, I don't think. But if you did wind up in a situation where all colleges were online only for the fall semester, it would actually probably be a fair bit easier to play sports. And then we'd have some, I think, have to have some very tough conversations about amateurism and things like that. If of course the schools chose to go forward with sports rather than postponing them or canceling them. But that would be the point at which you could build more of a bubble around your program. You only bring one program into your facility at a time. You know, your academic advisors only meet with program, you know, only meet with athletes remotely, that sort of thing. You know, I mean, I know that from Indiana's perspective, we've already been told there will be no in-person interviews for the foreseeable future. It'll all be done via phone or via Zoom calls. So, you know, basically, again, I don't think that is not the outcome anyone wants, but it actually probably would be one that would make the possibility of a college football and or basketball season much more practical, just to be, you know, sort of brutally honest.
Yeah, no question. Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. Zach, as always, thanks for the update. Thanks for the chat. Normally, late July, we'd really be honing in on football and talking specifics about the team and looking at the upcoming schedule. But right now, so many other things dominating the world of sports. But it is nice to see a little baseball back last night. It is nice to know the NBA is coming back. So appreciate your time and your expertise on these subjects.
Absolutely. As always, thank you. And my son was sufficiently distracted by Farmer Ted or Tractor Ted. So we're doing all right.
Enjoy your vacation, and we'll catch up again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right. Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. Our guest. One other note here. It looks like that updates, national rankings have been updated. The Rivals 150. They always had Trey Kaufman lower in the rankings, or I should say maybe higher, with not as good a ranking as the 247 sports rankings. But he has jumped 44 spots in their latest rankings, which came out earlier this morning, to number 39 in the 2021 class. That's the Rivals 150 ranking. He's been at number 40 in the 247 sports rankings as well. I don't know when they'll update again, but it sounds like with how he's been playing, really some good words out on Trey that he will continue to move up the list a little bit, maybe even have a chance to be higher in some of those rankings in the future as well. Again, national rankings, for whatever they're worth, I'm sure the kids put more into it than what a lot of people do, but it is interesting to see a big, big jump there by Trey Kaufman in the Rivals 150 rankings that came out earlier today. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with one final segment today. Chad Gilbert, the athletic director at Charlestown, former coach in the area, and of course president of the IHSA Executive Board. He'll join us next. We'll talk high school sports, a couple local topics, and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Final segment on this Monday program. We go to Chad Gilbert, Charlestown High School Athletic Director, former coach in the area, and, of course, president of the IHSA Executive Board for this year. Chad, great to see some sports returning. I mentioned earlier in the show the NBA comes back later this week in the bubble in Orlando. And last night, Sunday Night Baseball. It wasn't a real game. It was a scrimmage game between the Cubs and the White Sox, but it was just nice to see some baseball back on the tube, even if there were no fans in the stands and the atmosphere pretty odd, to be quite honest.
Well, Matt, I thought on the atmosphere last night, you know, I was excited to watch the Cubs and the White Sox. I turned it on. Cubs are my squad now. So I'm watching, you know, go through a couple innings. And did you not, as the game went on, get the feel that you were watching a, I hate to say it almost at this point, a U-triple-A softball game? did it have that feel to it to you almost, you know, that it was just not a lot of emotion, a lot of you know, playing to the crowd and not a fanfare, you know, and I think that shows people how important that fans are to sports and how important sports are to fans. You know, you talk about the NBA and the bubble even. If LeBron steals a cross-court pass, do you think he's going to come in and do some windmill 360 dunk and take the risk on being hurt? He's going to lay it in because there's no one to ooh and ah in the crowd and get the place hyped up about. Those were the discouraging things I did not think about, things that I was hoping wouldn't be as bad as what they were. That being said, it was good to see sports on again.
Yeah, and you know what? I agree with you. I was just glad baseball was back. But I do agree with you. The environment without fans there, not only was it odd looking, but it made the television broadcast weird, which is interesting to think about because when you're at home on a Sunday night and you've got NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball on, you don't pay much attention to the crowd unless they zoom in on somebody or there's a celebrity there or someone does something crazy in the stands or whatever. But the crowd and just the their reactions and it's good background noise that we're all so used to in sports, even in a dull moment. But I do think this, though, Chad, and the TBT up in Columbus told me this. I don't know what the NBA bubble court or two courts, I think they're going to use it, how it's going to be designed, laid out, what it's going to look like. But if they set it up right in Orlando, and I thought the TBT was a great example, it can look a lot better, even with an empty arena behind the banners and the brackets and the backdrops and things like that. And also, you can hear the players if it's mic'd up like the TBT was. So when LeBron goes for a move and you hear him grunt and maybe talk a little trash or make a comment, you're going to pick up some of that. So I think basketball, it'll still be lacking without fans on TV, but in my opinion, it'll be maybe better than baseball or football. And that could be a crazy opinion, but that's what I believe.
You know, I think one thing that I think would be an interesting study, and I'm sure it's on the internet somewhere, I've not thought anything about it, is how much in a 3-hour game, how many minutes of that game are spent on panning the crowd? You know, whether it's a good play, a bad play, at the end of the game when people are nervous and they're showing people in the crowd. It kind of gets your emotion. I'd be curious on that, on how many minutes throughout a game that the game is actually played on TV, you know, get rid of the commercials. How many of that is actually shown panning the audience? I bet it's more than what you and I think. That's something that we just take for granted. With the TBT, I think basketball guys like you and myself, we look past that because we're watching – for different sets. We're watching, you know, there's that guy. Where was he from? We're looking up at those guys on the internet. I just don't think, you know, when you compare that to the NBA playoffs or regular season NBA games, it's no comparison. And it's kind of like, I'll use, for instance, ESPN would show the Nike Peach Jam finals in the summer. And to compare that, I'll use the game that New Albany played the team from Ohio, Romeo's senior year with the kid that was going to Syracuse. Am I right on that? Is that?
Yes.
The atmosphere between the two was so much different on TV. You know, it's just a different type of atmosphere. It's a summer feel, an off-season feel compared to an in-season feel. And I just don't know if you can replicate that. It's something that they will do their best. The NBA, they're not pulling out any stops, Matt. If you looked, I saw they put a barber shop in the bubble. You know, so money's not an option for these guys. They're going out there to do this thing right. So they're going to have all the stops, and they're going to learn from baseball. They're going to learn from the TBT, and they're going to make it as fan-friendly as possible. I'm just curious how it's going to play out.
Yeah, I agree. Chad Gilbert is my guest. Chad, off-season right now in basketball, and this off-season has looked a lot different than most because a lot of the things that we've become accustomed to in summer basketball – the high school summer leagues in June did not happen. The Nike EYBL, the Peach Jam, all the big recruiting events that we like following, especially Indiana guys and who the IU coaches are watching, they did not happen. But one thing that still goes on is off-season development. Yes, there's been some AAU games here in recent weeks in Indiana. Some states still no AAU basketball, no travel basketball at all. But one thing in the offseason is lots of hard work can be put in, lots of shooting. Even in this time, if it had to be outdoors during the pandemic, there was a way to work if you wanted to work. And I know that you, as a former player, someone that played the game at a high level, know what the offseason is like, and you enjoy watching the local players. Trey Kaufman, I just mentioned in the last segment, taking a big jump in the Rivals 150 national player rankings. How did you view the offseason as a player when you were in high school and when you were in college as a basketball player that was good but was always trying to get better?
Yeah, and that's the one thing. You've got to use that time in the offseason to push and get better. Looking back, there's times that I feel like I did a pretty good job working hard in the offseason, but looking back, I could have done more. I could have worked harder. And I think that's one thing that you want to tell your kids, you want to tell your players, don't have any regrets. You know, that time to go the green, to go the mall and walk around, that time to cruise around the square, that time hanging out, you know, with your buddies, it's going to be there throughout the rest of your life. You've got this small window to be the best player, whatever sport that is, that you can be. Make the most of it, because eventually there's going to come a time that you're going to have to hang up the shoes, hang up the cleats, and move on. And you want to go down with no regrets, not thinking, man, I wish I would have done that different. And if you've seen guys in the offseason, I got to give credit to kids, to coaches, and to parents for the buy-in. You know, the amount of kids who I would think are going to personal trainers. You know, I was ahead of the time on that one. Marvin Bostock, old Clarksville guy, took me under his wing down at Clarksville Fitness Center. And, you know, he trained me in the summer. Now there's trainers all over the place, you know, whether it's on your skills, on your weight room, on your body. And as you can see in some of the pictures that teams post, these kids have taken care of their body. They're in great shape. They've worked themselves into a good position. And you mentioned Trey Kaufman, for instance. I saw a picture of him, you know, on the standing vertical, where his vertical was like 39 inches. He, if you watched a video of him, they had a highlight video of him last week. His athleticism, his development has come so far in 4 years where, you know, you look at his ceiling, you think this guy has the ability to play in the association. Where he's going down the lanes where 2 years ago he's finger rolling that, now he's ripping the rim off. And that just doesn't happen sitting at home eating fudge stripe Oreos like I'm doing. That means you're busting it. You're out there and you're getting after it. You're motivated and you're pushing yourself to be the best you can be. That takes a lot of maturity. Now, again, like I said, it takes a lot of great coaching and a lot of great parenting.
Yeah, Chad Gilbert is my guest. Chad, obviously we've got to talk a bit about fall sports and football before we end the show today. As we talk about all the professional sports beginning to come back and the bubble for basketball in Orlando, and, of course, college sports having their own troubles, including Indiana, who had a voluntary pause on football workouts that started Friday afternoon, we all are wondering what's going to happen with high school sports in our state. And a number of associations have delayed the start of fall sports and football. A couple have bumped the football and some of the fall sports seasons back into the spring. But in Indiana and a number of other Midwestern states, Michigan, Iowa, I know have also made similar announcements and plans. A lot of states still planning to move forward with fall sports. And, of course, practices set to begin for football on August 3rd. I know that everyone's used the words got to be flexible, got to be fluid in this situation. Where is an athletic director and an IHSA board member that's involved in some of this stuff? Where do you see things at right now as a decision you would think forthcoming down the line just a bit?
Well, you hit it on the head. You got to be flexible. Things are fluid. You got to be adaptable moving forward. And that's something, you know, we'll use Coach Hawkins' interview last year talking to you, or last week talking to the paper, talking to you on air. He's, you know, every coach is trying to get their thing through for their sport. And Coach Hawkins, what he, you know, when you put yourself out there, you put yourself out there. But what he was trying to think or say is put fall sports, have a flip-flop, have the fall, go to the spring and have baseball, softball and stuff, go to the fall. And, you know, those guys have been, you know, if you look on your Twitter feed, you're seeing all these PBR games and all these kids playing travel ball right now. So they lead right up into their baseball season. The problem with that is, what if the fall got their plug pulled? Then you're looking at 2 years of no baseball, no spring sports. Does that make any sense to you on that?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the one issue that you'd face across that one. Moving forward, I think school systems will move forward unless told otherwise. I think the IHSA will move forward unless told otherwise. It may be a situation, and I'll just use something I know. Let's say Greater Clark, for instance. There may be a situation where we're starting school next Wednesday with kids. There may be a day Thursday that something has broke out at a school in Jeffersonville. Well, this whole school system won't shut down, just that school in Jeffersonville.
Mm-hmm.
And the school will continue to go. So individual schools, even in districts, may be pulling the plug and moving forward. That same thing you could see in sports. They'll start. They may say, hey, Clark and Floyd County, you're a hot spot down there. You guys pause it for 2 weeks. Where Martin County, they're saying, hey, you've gotten 3 cases. Continue to play. And there may be some pauses. If you looked at the Indiana public schools up there, they pushed back starts until August 17th. So that means they're not starting practice till August 17th. No, nothing August 3rd. So the first 2 weeks of their season are going to be off. You know, so whoever those guys are playing, they're not going to be playing any of the IPS schools moving forward. Now, if you're an AD, do you go and scrap and try to find places to replace those? Absolutely not. You tell your coaches, hey, let's do the best moving forward. We'll continue to pick up and go from there. And that's kind of what you're looking at a week-to-week, day-to-day process moving forward.
Crazy times. Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, as always, thanks for the time, and we'll do it again next Monday.
Matt, I appreciate the run, and thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana Sports. Trying times, and you're doing a great job keeping everybody interested and keeping everyone involved.
Thank you very much. Chad with me Mondays as we talk local sports and more, and brings a great perspective to the program as a former coach and, of course, currently an athletic director and even involved in statewide high school sports as a member of the IHSA board. We'll wrap it up for today. We'll come back with you on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. And, of course, Tuesdays, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins me, presented by Coffee Crossing. Also, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. He'll be with us later in the week. I know a lot of you really enjoy the summer updates we do with high school football and basketball coaches. We'll have more of those coming up later in the week, and we're even going to talk with some of the good players, the great players, I should say, for the upcoming high school football season as well in this week and, of course, future weeks as well, as we hope we continue to get closer to the start of the high school football season. August 3rd, first day of official practice, and, of course, scrimmages in the middle of August and games toward the end of August. We sure hope that we're covering high school football like we always do when we get into the month of August, and that there is going to be fall sports and, of course, a football season here in Southern Indiana. That wraps it up for today. Make sure you're with us tomorrow. We'll be live at 11 o'clock here on the Big X. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.